It's Friday the 13th. But you know what? The 13th is a lucky day. Every day is a lucky day if you're listening to WBGO. But Friday the 13th, this day on WBGO, is extra special lucky because we have with us live all morning long an all-star quartet. Rudy Royston on the drums and Kenny Davis on the bass and Anthony Wanzi on piano. And the cat that rounded them all up and brought them down here is with us. They're going to play a week at the Vanguard. We're going to talk later on this morning. But please welcome saxophonist Chico Freeman.
Thank you.
That, my friends, is the way to get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? And you can thank Chico Freeman and some of his friends for making it such a positive way to get up. Anthony Wanzi on piano, and Kenny Davis on the bass, and Rudy Royston on the drums, and our special guest today, as we say good morning to Chico Freeman.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, that opening, that track we just heard, there's a piece called Black Inside?
Yes.
And where did that come from?
Well, that was written by a friend of mine, a pianist, Antonio Faro. And it comes from his feeling of who he really thinks he is, who he feels he would like to be. Yeah. And it's a good feeling, you know, Black Inside. And he's a very talented pianist, and we've worked together a lot. And it's one of the songs I really liked of his.
Well, now for you, being Black Inside is growing up at the corner of 69th and Calumet in
Chicago,
Illinois, right? And part of a very talented family.
That's true.
The son of the great Von Freeman, and of course your uncles.
George and Bruz.
And George still playing.
George is still playing. He just hit 90.
That gives the rest of us something to shoot for, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, and Richard Davis lived right across the street.
Richard Davis lived across the street. Abby Lincoln. Adam Oseka was down the street.
So now, did all of this kind of gatherings, because your house was like a jam session, right?
Well, my dad had a band, and my uncles, called the Freeman Brothers.
Yeah.
And they used to rehearse at the house. And so, particularly in the summertime, we would raise all the windows up because it was hot.
Yeah.
And all, you know, we had like maybe 20, 30 kids on the block. There was a lot of kids on my block.
Yeah, one family had 15 kids.
It's true.
Lord, stop them. Somebody stop them.
Yeah. She had a lot. And, all of them, but we were all friends and we played all together on the block and everything. So they would come down to the houses, particularly when my dad was having rehearsals. And with the windows open, and they would just sit on the porch and just hang out. And my mom would make lemonade and just bring it out. And so we would just sit there and listen to my dad rehearse. And I got to hear people like Andrew Hill. And, because Andrew Hill from Chicago, Ahmad Jamal, who he even had a club in Chicago. I think it was the Alhambra, if I'm not mistaken. And other great Chicago, Clifford Jordan. I could go on and on.
But we were talking, the sound of your saxophone, as aggressive, as exploratory as it can be, as quiet and as hushed as it can be, also comes from an experience of growing up around some of the great blues guys and playing with some of the great rhythm and blues.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to play with J.B. Huddle and Buddy Guy and Junior Wells, because Chicago is the home of the urban blues. So during my time I came up, I played with all those blues guys, as well as a lot of the R&B guys. You know, I mean, Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, Jerry Butler, the Dells, Four Tops, Spinners, Temptations, and on and on, even the Jackson Five.
And that kind of thing has to inform the fluidity, the spirituality, right? The downright soulfulness of what I hear when I hear you play.
Chicago's a pretty soulful place.
Yeah.
As two of the guys can attest to, Anthony Wanzi's from Chicago and so is Kenny Davis. And Rudy Royston is an honorary member
of Chicago.
Yeah.
Wow. How they making music? All three of you are here. Now, for those people that live in our area, the name Chico Freeman used to be heard almost daily, man, because you lived here. And I believe it was the great Elvin Jones that got you to come here, right? You were on the road with him? Is that?
Well, no, not exactly. Actually, the story is that the person that suggested that I come to New York was Charles Mingus.
Oh, okay.
I was still in Chicago, and Charles came to play, and he had the band with Don Pullen and Danny Richmond and George Adams and Jack Walrath, if I remember. And I went to see him, and I wanted to sit in. I'll never forget that because I went to Mr. Mingus. I said, Mr. Mingus, would it be all right if I sat in? And he said to me, he said, it's all right with me, but you got to ask George. And I thought, oh, that's a lesson. Yeah. The respect he had for, you know, his George Adams I'm talking about.
Sure.
So I went to George and I said, Mr. Adams, Mr. Mingus said it would be all right if I sit in. He said, but I needed to get your permission. And George looked at me, he said, all right, come on. So I sat in and I was green and, you know, fresh. And so I thought, you know, he'd play a blues or something, you know, something, you know, rhythm changes anything.
Yeah.
Instead, he pulled out, I don't remember the name of the song, but one of his compositions that spanned like three music stands. And he pulled it out, and that's what I had to play, and I had to sight read it. And I was like, and I did, and George was so kind. George, you know, I did well,
yeah,
obviously, but during the period, George was, okay, we're gonna go here now, and you know, he was very kind, and he acted as, he directed me here and there. And at the end, I went up. And I knew that if I had messed up, because Charles had the reputation, if you mess up his music, he would stop the band.
Yeah.
And he would call you out. He would say things like, you all have come here to hear professional musicians. Clearly, our trumpet player didn't get the message. And he would do that. So I was running the risk that, you know, I could be called out and humiliated by him.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that didn't happen. And then when I went off and I went to thank him for letting me sit in as I was walking, you know, the last song of the set. And he said, you should come to New York. And he said, we play at Boomers every Saturday.
Yeah.
And he told me, you should come to New York. Well, and that's what got me thinking to come to New York.
When was the first time you played the Vanguard?
The first time I played the Vanguard was with Elvin Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was with him, had joined the band by then. Actually, I hadn't joined the band yet. That night was my audition.
That's a heavy place to audition.
Yeah, it was my audition.
And you're returning to the scene next Tuesday through Sunday with the Plustet and a couple of tributes. One to your dear friend, Arthur Blythe.
Yes.
And then some other things going on, too.
Well, for the first three nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's going to be Kenny and Anthony. But Billy Hart is going to be playing drums. And the second three nights, Terry Lynn Carrington is going to be playing drums. And then we got Gus Tillis, who's going to be with us on Thursday and Friday. And those two nights we're dedicating to Arthur Blythe. And I'll also be playing Arthur's alto.
Ooh, nice. Speaking of Arthur Blythe, and you know, one of the tunes that the two of you probably played night after night was Playpen, right?
Yeah, he recorded that with me, yes. Yeah.
Would you do that for us this morning?
With pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, man, we got it going on. We got Rudy Royston on the drums. Yeah. How about a big round of applause for Rudy Royston? Morning, folks.
Yay.
Well, jazz people can be a sad bunch. Look at that. That's supposed to be a stadium sound is what that's supposed to be. Kenny Davis on the bass. How about it? Kenny Davis. And Anthony Wansey sitting at the piano. The Steinway, his way. And ladies and gentlemen, on saxophone, Chico Freeman. This is Playpen.
Thank you.
Chico Freeman plus Tet, live on a Friday morning from WBGO, Anthony Wanzi on piano, and Kenny Davis on the bass, and drummer Rudy Royston, and our special guest this morning, Chico Freeman, who's somehow gotten up in the middle of the night to come down here and hang out with us today. And tonight, they will be at in Old Lyme, Connecticut, at the Stage Door, doing their thing. And then tomorrow night, Saturday night, they go up to Sculler's for you folks that are listening to us this morning from Boston. And then all next week, Tuesday through Sunday, a very special week at the Village Vanguard down there on 7th Avenue South. You and Arthur go way back, and you had a number of different groups that you played together on, one of them being the Roots.
Yeah, Roots.
Yeah.
It was just Roots Salutes the Saxophone,
yeah,
which was a band that came after the Leaders. And that band, the original band, featured Don Pullen. And the first record we made was with Don Pullen, Santi DeBriano, Tommy Campbell, Sam Rivers, Nathan Davis, Arthur, and myself.
Don Pullen, man, scary dude on the piano.
Great, great, great dude.
Yeah, I went out to a thing at the Kaufman Astoria Studios one night with Bill Cosby, and he was producing an album out there, and Harold Vick was a saxophonist, and he had Mark Egan, and he had Jack DeJohnette, and from Philadelphia, Sonny Chirac, sitting on a folding chair playing the guitar, and the folding chair would move across the floor. But Don Pullen was the pianist, and at the end of this one extended piece, he said, well, what'd you think of that? I said, I think you just bought the piano, because there's nothing left, right?
Yeah, he had that style. He was original. He wasn't original.
Yeah. The sense memory, we talked about this earlier this morning, of you in so many different settings. That last piece, by the way, Playpen, you said, had kind of a film noir feel to it.
The idea was to try to capture that film noir kind of feeling, those old detective movies.
You've written for film.
Pardon?
You've written for film.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes. A few films, yes.
A few films. He's got a filmography.
I do, actually.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, what's in store for the people that are going to come down to the Village Vanguard next week? What are they going to hear? What are they going to see?
Well, they're going to hear a lot of original compositions and I tip my hat to a few other people, like Gene Ammons and Bobby Hutcherson and of course, John Coltrane. You're going to hear the first three nights with Billy Hart, Anthony, and Kenny Davis. And then the second three nights with the great Terry Lynn Carrington on drums. And Gus Tillis is going to be joining us on Vibes. And the Thursday and Friday, we're going to do a tribute to Arthur. So we're going to be playing a lot of Arthur's music.
Ooh.
As well as music that Arthur and I recorded. Because he and I have recorded and been in various groups. I mean, he was with me in the Leaders. He and I also recorded a couple of records live at Ronnie Scott's. We were in California. We toured. We did that. We were in Jack DeJohnette's special edition band together, and a few other things too. So
didn't you worked with McCoy?
Yes, we were with McCoy too. Yeah, we did that. We worked with McCoy.
Yeah,
we've done a lot. So during those times, I will reach out and touch some of these memories. We might play something from McCoy that we played when we were together.
It's a family, isn't it?
Yeah, Arthur was one of my best friends
and
my favorite alto saxophonist. He was so unique, his sound. I asked him one day, I said, Arthur, you got this sound. And I said, Johnny Hodges had this thing. I always thought of him as like pulling taffy. The way he did that. And I said, you got that, but at the same time, I can hear that Johnny was one of your people, but it's different. I said, so how do you get that? Where does that come from? And he said to me, I practice violin music.
Oh.
I said, oh.
Well, now the saxophone was not your first instrument.
I actually played trumpet. I started on piano, but then I played trumpet.
Yeah. We're chatting with Chico Freeman. If you're just getting up, I'll tell you, man, all next week, Tuesday through Sunday, the Village Vanguard in New York City, the walls are going to sweat, and they're going to move in a way that
Well, you'll enjoy yourself. Family. Sometimes, you know, when families come together, it's a great thing. Sometimes when families come together, or portions of families, you know, it can be a sad thing. But a sad thing can lead a musician to creating something really special because it touches somebody. And where I'm going here is a piece that you wrote called Teardrop.
It's called To Hear a Teardrop in the Rain. And I invite you to contemplate that for a moment. To Hear a Teardrop in the Rain.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, that's the point. If you can hear a teardrop in the rain, that's that one thing in your life, that one, sometimes a person, that one event, person, you know, yeah, that stands out in the midst of everyone else or everything else. And that's the significance of it. That teardrop in the rain, to hear that teardrop while it's raining, you know, that's the significance of that.
And a powerful thing too, but also a very special thing, because it, yes, means that you have successfully blocked out all the other things that are coming at you from all different angles 24 right, hours a day. So the result is that you may discover through the sadness and through the soulfulness or the soulness of something, you find something on the other side that's pretty special about yourself.
Yes, it can be. Many people can experience it in various ways, too. I mean, athletes can experience. I've heard of athletes. They're out there, you know, 100,000 people, 40,000 people around them. And they, in the football, they got the ball and they're running. And all of a sudden, it's complete silence to them. You know, they're alone. in this case, in my case, it was different. I was with someone that had met a tragic end. And she was my girlfriend at the time. She had been murdered, actually. And I went to the funeral, you know, the services. And after everything was done and everything, I sat down at the piano, and this came to me. I wrote it from the beginning to the end. There was no thinking about it. It just came just like that. So it was like that teardrop. And that's where the title came from. It was like a gift.
Can we hear it this morning?
Sure.
Rudy Royston, Kenny Davis, Anthony Wanzi, and our guest, Chico Freeman on saxophone. The Plus Tet, next Tuesday through Sunday at the Village Vanguard in New York City. We say good morning here on a Friday at WBGO, Chico Freeman. Thank you. How do you hear a teardrop in the rain? You listen with your heart. That's the deal. And our guest this morning, you're not a guest. Come on. You're a regular. We expect you back here Monday.
You do, Monday.
Yeah, you come on back on Monday.
Yeah, I got a job.
We'll play some more, man. I think you got the gig. Chico Freeman with us on WBGO. You know, it's hard to imagine the label put upon someone like yourself early on in the early 80s, I'm talking, you were regarded as one of the young lions, but yet before you got here, you had already done so much session work and playing in so many different settings in your hometown of Chicago with the blues greats, with the jazz greats that came through town, with the R&B greats. That came through town, and I'm talking about major players, man, like the Dells and the Spinners and Curtis Mayfield's band, the Impressions. Motown. Can I get an amen? Amen? There it is.
You know, boy. Chicago's got a very long history of great artists that come from Chicago. You know, Lou Rawls, Nat King Cole, Gene Ammons, Jack DeJohnette, Herbie Hancock,
E. Parker McDougal.
E. Parker McDougal. Remember him, Kenny?
Huh?
No.
How about that? There, I pulled one out of my hat.
Yeah.
But in the early 80s, when you came to, in fact, you were part of a big concert that took place. I can't remember if they recorded it or not. I believe they did.
The Young Lions?
The Young Lions concert. And it was Kevin Eubanks and yourself and Wynton Marsalis. And
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin. Paquito de Rivera was a Young Lion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you had so much experience when you came to town.
Well.
You were younger, though, weren't you?
I was younger. But I got out there, you know. I mean, I was fortunate to have my father and to be able to listen to all that great music that was I grew up listening to.
Sure, you got Von Freeman, your dad, he's talking about it. You got your Uncle George and Bruz.
And, you know, Kenny worked with, before Kenny, my father prepared a lot of musicians, you know, and Kenny was one of the great ones he prepared. And, what was it, Kenny, a year and a half you worked with him before you came to me? 2 years, 2 years. And Wanzi, too.
Yeah.
Anthony, I mean.
Yeah.
So they worked with him and a lot of other, you know, Steve Coleman and.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lonnie Plaxico. That's right, Lonnie. And many, many more.
So it is a family
Brad
affair.
Good. And, what's the singer, Kenny? Kurt Elling. Elling, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, after this and considering this, your station, which continues next week, it's a Village Vanguard in New York City with the Plus Tet. And you're going to do some tributes to Arthur Blythe toward the end of the week. You're actually going to play his alto, are you not?
I am. I'm excited about that. Hey. Yeah, because actually, I've played his horn before. I own a Sopranino, and we were in a recording session. And I never forget that Arthur wanted to play my Sopranino. Yeah. On this particular, well, we had some songs we were doing. It wasn't our session. We were playing for some others. And so I said, sure, Arthur. I said, can I play your alto? So he said, yeah. So we swapped horns, you know. He played the Sopranino, and I played the alto. And so I said, wow. So I told him, I said, well, jokingly back then, I said, Arthur, when you time to check out, you know, please leave me the horn. Because it that sound that came to that horn is funny. All the years in that horn. That was the horn he played from, I think that was the only horn he ever played, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a real spiritualness.
Yeah, he was connected to that instrument. Yeah.
Well, you know, your own, when you consider your own career too, man, what, I mean, is there anything or what would it be that you would want to do that you haven't had a chance to do yet musically?
Oh, I'm open to all kinds of things, though. I have done a couple of things that I've done. When I was in Greece, I got the opportunity to play with the chamber orchestra, 23-piece string orchestra, had my music arranged for it, and I played a place called Musikis. And it's like the Carnegie Hall or the Lincoln Center of Athens. And I had Arturo Sandoval, a special guest with me and my band, and this 23-piece string orchestra. So that was something I'd always wanted to do. Ever since I had, well, you know, there's Charlie Parker with strings, you know, and then Ornette did this thing in London with the London Philharmonic. So I would still love to play with the London Philharmonic. Yeah. Although I have played with the New York Symphony Orchestra that I've done as a soloist here in New York City with that. I've done that. So I've gotten that part.
You may get your chance, man, because yeah. I have the feeling that somebody, you know, whose motivation is always, you don't want to ever get to the point where you're playing a I wonder what would have happened if I'd have tried this or done this. And, you know, you were pretty comfortable in New York. You were a working musician, right? Mm-hmm. And right in the middle of it all, you said, you know, there's something else. There's something else that I need to inform my life and to inform my music. Initially, the move to Greece, a move to Spain, a move, you know, to Africa. And you experienced all these different musics, which get inside you once you experience them truthfully. And then it informs what you do.
It does. And I believe that music is the expression of people and who we are at any given time in history. And I wanted to learn something about other people and their expressions. And one group of people that I was particularly interested in were the gypsies. And, you know, of course, you know, in America, we don't always hear everything. We aren't exposed to a lot. There's a lot Americans aren't exposed to. So I learned a lot once I went over there. And in Greece, I met this incredible gypsy violinist. And we played a lot together.
It's like their blues music, isn't it?
Well, in Spain, the flamenco music is actually gypsy music.
Yeah.
And that's their blues.
Yeah.
Don Pull and Arthur Blanton, we had an experience. We were in Granada, Spain, which is important because the Alhambra's there, which is, you know, from Hannibal came through there during that time. So a lot of that African art that mixed with the Arab is really beautiful stuff down there. Anyway, this young gypsy girl came to our concert. It was one of the leaders' concert, I think. No, it was Roots, sorry, the Roots concert. And she took us to an after-hours place, Don Pullen, Arthur Blythe, and myself. And we stayed there and jammed with these gypsies playing flamenco, real flamenco. I mean, that's like going down, it was like going down south and playing the blues, real blues, you know what I mean, country blues. And it was like that kind of an experience. And we played till like 2 o'clock the next day. Just all night long there.
So just leave yourself open and you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, things happen. I mean, I went to Morocco for a festival, music festival, and not with a band, it was just me and Arthur. Arthur was on that festival too, and Robert Stewart, a saxophone player from California, used to play with Wynton, the three of us. And I kind of thought we were going to go there and, you know, we'd do one thing. And the funny thing about it, the festival was completely different than any festival I had ever participated in prior to that. We played, the festival lasted about, I think I was there for about 2 weeks nearly. We played nearly every day, but they just mixed everybody up. I played with Ghanaian musicians, all these Moroccan musicians from all over, and just they just mixed up everybody. It was amazing. And all I did was just keep my horn with me because every day I was on stage with someone different and playing different music than I'd ever heard. And it was, I swear, it's a microcosm of what I think the world should be.
Yeah. Tonight, Side Door, Old Lyme, Connecticut. Tomorrow night, Scullers, Boston. And next Tuesday through Sunday at the Village Vanguard in New York City, and today on WBGO Live, Chico Freeman, whose destiny is certainly a dance. Will you take us out this morning?
Yes, sir.
¶¶
All you gotta do is hear that, folks. You just gotta hear that. Rudy Royston on the drums and Anthony Wunsey on piano and Kenny Davis on the bass. And the leader, the cat who wrote that piece, is with us this morning, Chico Freeman. And the tune is called Destiny's Dance. And after you hear that, your destination, my friends, should be either the side door in Old Lyme, Connecticut tonight, Sculler's in Boston for you folks tomorrow night, and next Tuesday through Sunday, all week long, a very special time to be had with Chico Freeman and the Plustet. And what a great time this morning, man. I want to thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
This is just great. Thank you for having us. And you're coming back Monday, right?
Yes, sir.
No, he ain't coming back Monday. I'll go ahead and start with that, Jim. We'll see what happens. Chico Freeman this morning, the Plustet. Catch him when you can. And check out what Chico's doing at chicofreeman.com.
Correct.
And this morning, what a blessing to check him out here at WBGO. Thank you, folks, for supporting this station so we can swing this way.